Ever feel like you're drowning in legal jargon, trying to make sense of some really complex cases?
Yeah, it can be tough to cut through the noise sometimes.
Well, that's what we're here for.
That's right. To make things a bit clearer.
Today, we're diving deep into a case that really highlights those tangled webs, Keller v. City of Fremont.
Ah, Keller. A classic case that gets right to the heart of who controls immigration policy in the U.S.
You know, on the surface, it feels like it should be pretty straightforward. Immigration, that's the federal government's job,
You
right?
would think so, wouldn't you?
But then you get this city, Fremont, Nebraska, passing an ordinance that targets undocumented immigrants specifically.
Exactly. And that's where things get messy. We're going to unpack all of this, looking at the arguments, the decisions, and what it all means for the bigger picture.
We've got some in-depth case brief to help us navigate these murky waters.
So think of this as your guide to understanding the limits of local power when it clashes with federal authority, all seen through the lens of Keller v. City of Fremont.
That's the mission for today's deep dive.
So to kick things off, let's rewind back to 2010. Picture Fremont, Nebraska, a city passing this new law, Ordinance 5165.
Ordinance 5165. Catchy name. What did it actually do? Give us the rundown.
Well, it had a few key parts, all aimed at, let's say, making things less welcoming for undocumented immigrants in Fremont.
A less welcoming meaning.
Meaning making it tougher for them to live and work there. The first part was mandatory E-verify for all employers in the city.
E-verify. That's the federal system for checking work eligibility, right?
That's the one. So now businesses in Fremont had to run every new hire through that system.
Okay, that's one part. What else?
Here's the real kicker, especially for housing. Anyone who wanted to rent a place in Fremont now had to get a special occupancy license from the city.
Occupancy license. I'm sensing some red flags here.
Yeah, you're picking up what they were putting down. To get this license, you had to prove your legal presence in the U.S.
Ah, there it is. So basically, you're a renter, you want a place in Fremont. Tell us your immigration status.
Pretty much. But it doesn't stop there.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, yeah. The ordinance even got the local police involved.
Really? How so?
They tasked the police with checking the immigration status of anyone applying for those rental licenses. So the police are now part of this housing approval process.
Wow, that's quite a system.
It is. You've got businesses checking immigration status, renters having to disclose their status, and the police confirming it all. It was only a matter of time before this thing landed in court.
No kidding. Who are the ones who said, hold on, this isn't right?
So you had two main groups taking this to court. On one side, you had landlords and employers.
Makes sense. This ordinance probably created a lot of extra work for them.
Absolutely. They argued it was a huge burden on their businesses, interfered with their operations, and just generally overstepped the city's authority.
And the other side, the tenants.
Yeah, current and potential tenants were the other big group pushing back. Their argument was more about fundamental rights. They said this ordinance violated their constitutional rights, went against federal immigration law, and even clashed with state law.
It sounds like a lot of legal ground to cover.
It was. But at the heart of it all were two central legal concepts: federal preemption and the Fair Housing Act.
Okay, break those down for us. Federal preemption first. What's the gist?
Well, federal preemption is this idea that federal law trumps state or local law when they clash.
So, kind of like a legal hierarchy where the federal government sets the rules of the game.
You got it. And in this case, the argument was, did Fremont try to create its own mini immigration system, something that steps on the toes of federal power? That's what's known as conflict preemption.
So, was Fremont overstepping its bounds and meddling in something that's the federal government's domain?
That was the big question. Then you've got the Fair Housing Act, which is all about preventing discrimination in housing.
Discrimination based on what?
All sorts of things: race, religion, national origin, you name it. The Fair Housing Act is designed to make sure everyone has an equal shot at finding a place to live.
Right, and this is where things get tricky with Fremont's ordinance. They're requiring people to disclose their immigration status.
Exactly. So the argument was, is Fremont effectively discriminated against undocumented immigrants by making it so much harder for them to rent a place?
I see. Makes sense. Now, earlier you mentioned Whiting. Why is that case relevant here?
Whiting is a crucial Supreme Court case that really sets the stage for Keller. It established that states actually can pass laws penalizing employers for hiring undocumented workers.
So there's some precedent for states having a say in immigration matters, at least when it comes to employment.
Right. The Eighth Circuit, the court that decided Keller, would later use Whiting to argue that local laws trying to discourage undocumented immigration aren't automatically off limits.
Interesting. So Whiting creates this space where local laws on immigration aren't immediately shut down. Now, what about the Eighth Circuit's decision on Fremont's ordinance? Which side did they take?
Well, the Eighth Circuit actually sided with Fremont on most of the ordinance, overturning the lower court's decisions on both preemption and the Fair Housing Act. That meant most of Fremont's rules could stay in place.
That's pretty significant. Why did the Eighth Circuit come to that conclusion? What was their reasoning?
They had three main points. First, they drew a distinction between removal, actually deporting someone, which is clearly a federal power, and deterrence.
Deterrence meaning?
Deterrence is about discouraging undocumented immigrants from living in a certain place, but without actually forcing them out of the country. The court argued Fremont's ordinance was aimed at making life harder for undocumented immigrants to make them want to leave. But it wasn't the same as the federal government deporting him.
Okay, I'm following. So making things difficult isn't the same as deportation in the eyes of the court. What was the second point?
Their second point was about the use of federal immigration categories. The court stressed that Fremont wasn't trying to invent its own definition of who's undocumented. They were using the existing categories already laid out by federal law.
So they're piggybacking on existing federal definitions, but applying them to a local ordinance. What about the third point? The Fair Housing Act claim. That was a big part of the challenge against the ordinance.
That's right. On that point, the Eighth Circuit said that the people who sued hadn't adequately demonstrated that there were less discriminatory ways for Fremont to achieve its stated goal of preserving housing for legal residents.
Preserving housing for legal residents. That phrasing sounds like it could still have a discriminatory impact, even if it wasn't explicitly intended that way.
Yeah, and that's something the dissenting judge would bring up. However, the majority on the Eighth Circuit accepted that reasoning. But it's important to note that this was a specific type of legal challenge called a facial challenge.
A facial challenge? Tell me more about that.
Imagine a recipe for a cake. A facial challenge is like saying the recipe itself is bad, no matter what the cake ends up tasting like. These types of challenges are generally harder to win because courts prefer to see how a law plays out in practice before deciding if it's unconstitutional.
So it's more about the law's potential effects rather than just its wording.
Exactly. Wow. Now, you'll also remember there was a concurring opinion in this case.
Right, a concurring opinion. What was that about?
One of the judges who agreed with the majority outcome, Judge Colleton, expressed some doubts about whether the people who sued actually had the right, the legal standing, to even bring the Fair Housing Act claims in the first place. This suggests that even within the judges who upheld the ordinance, there were questions about the strength of that particular part of the ruling.
Okay, so there might be some vulnerability in that part of the decision, and I know we discussed Arizona v. United States earlier. How does that big Supreme Court case relate to what happened in Keller?
Arizona v. United States, decided in 2012, was a landmark case. It delved into how far states and local governments could go in enacting their own immigration laws. While the Supreme Court struck down parts of Arizona's law as going too far, the Eighth Circuit in Keller pointed to the areas where the Supreme Court said states could act, specifically cooperating with federal immigration enforcement by using existing federal definitions of immigration status. They argued Fremont's ordinance was different from the Arizona law and fell more in line with that permissible cooperation.
So they saw Fremont's rules as more collaborative with federal efforts, or at least not directly clashing with them in the same way that the Arizona law did. Now, let's shift gears and talk about the dissenting opinion. You mentioned Judge Bright had a different perspective. What were his main points?
Yeah, Judge Bright wrote a powerful dissent. His main argument was that even though Fremont wasn't directly deporting anyone, their ordinance effectively functioned as a removal policy. By creating these huge obstacles to housing and jobs, they were essentially forcing undocumented immigrants out.
So even if it's not deportation on paper, the end result is the same. People are being driven out.
Exactly. Judge Bright argued that this indirect pressure from the local ordinance actually interfered with the federal government's authority over immigration enforcement. He emphasized that federal law has this complex system for deciding who should be deported, based on a bunch of factors, and he felt Fremont was trying to create its own system, ignoring those federal priorities.
So was he saying Fremont was essentially circumventing federal law, even if they weren't directly breaking it?
Right. He saw it as creating an obstacle to the accomplishment and execution of the full purposes and objectives of Congress when it comes to immigration. For Judge Bright, this case really highlighted the tension between local desires for control and the federal government's ultimate authority in this area.
Such a fascinating clash of priorities. So, stepping back, what are the big takeaways from Keller? How has it shaped this area of law?
Well, Keller demonstrates that courts might uphold local laws that deal with immigration, especially if they stick to federal categories for determining immigration status, as long as they're not directly engaged in deportations. It suggests there might be a narrow path for local governments to pass these types of laws that are intended to deter undocumented immigration.
But it sounds like there are some very specific limitations based on how Keller played out.
For sure. If local governments want to enact similar ordinances, they need to be careful. First, they should stick to existing federal classifications of who's undocumented and avoid making their own definitions. Second, they need to steer clear of setting up separate enforcement mechanisms that would clash with federal immigration authorities. And finally, they've got to demonstrate a valid, non-discriminatory justification for the ordinance, one that goes beyond simply targeting immigration status.
Legitimate, non-discriminatory purpose. That seems like something that could be open to interpretation and debate in future cases. You mentioned how this case connects to contemporary issues as well. Could you expand on that a bit?
Absolutely. We see echoes of this tension between federal and local authority in today's hot-button issues, like the busing of migrants across states, which has sparked a lot of controversy. While that doesn't directly involve housing or jobs, it raises those same fundamental questions about how far states and cities can go in influencing the movement of immigrants and whether their actions align with or contradict federal immigration policy. The Keller case serves as a reminder that striking that delicate balance between local attempts at deterrence and the federal government's authority over immigration is an ongoing challenge.
Such a complex and dynamic area of law, it's clear that the Keller case has left a lasting impact. So, to sum up our deep dive, we've seen how a local ordinance aiming to restrict housing access for undocumented immigrants led to a significant legal battle. It really underscores the intricate relationship between federal and local power in the realm of immigration law.
Yes. And the Eighth Circuit's decision, upholding most of the ordinance while acknowledging those concerns raised by the dissenting judge, highlights the fine legal lines between deterrence and removal, and how crucial it is to rely on existing federal definitions of immigration status.
These distinctions are so important to unpack.
They really are. And it all points to a question worth pondering. Given the legal nuances of Keller and the differentiation between deterrence and removal, what are the real-world implications for individuals and for the overall structure of immigration law in the U.S.? As the landscape of immigration law continues to evolve, it's crucial to consider how these interpretations play out in practice.
Lots to think about, and plenty more to explore. Until next time.
See you then.